Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Local news roundup. Traffic stop leads to fentanyl-related arrest. A traffic stop Saturday night led to the arrest of an Odessa man and the seizure of 2.6 grams of fentanyl-laced oxycodone pills. According to an Odessa Police Department report, an officer pulled Devon Dunn, age 19, over because he was failing to maintain a single lane while traveling north on Andrews Highway near East 38th Street, and his Cadillac Seville wasn't insured. After smelling marijuana inside the car, the officer searched it and found a handgun under Dunn's seat, along with a satchel containing $686 and 2.6 grams of blue pills labeled M30, the report stated. Dunn's girlfriend told the officer Dunn sold the pills, according to the report. Dunn was arrested on suspicion of manufacturing, delivery of a controlled substance, possession of a controlled substance, and unlawfully carrying a weapon. Dunn remained in the Ector County Jail Tuesday on surety bonds totaling $41,500. The manufacturing charge is a second-degree felony punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison. Alleged scooter attack lands teen in jail. An Odessa teenager is facing an aggravated assault charge after his mother's boyfriend told police he attacked him with a scooter. According to an Odessa Police Department report, a 49-year-old South Jackson Avenue resident called authorities around 2 p.m. Saturday and said Romero Tinner, age 17, entered the bedroom he shared with the teen's mother and began to beat him with a child's scooter. Officers observed injuries to the man's arm, and Tinner's mother confirmed hearing the attack from another room, the report stated. Tinner was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, a second-degree felony punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison. He remained in the Ector County Jail Tuesday on a $25,000 surety bond. Midland teen shot to death. The Midland Police Department is investigating the shooting death of a 16-year-old boy. According to the City of Midland, police responding to a shots fire call in the 3400 block of North Midland Drive around 5:30 p.m. Monday found the deceased teenager suffering from multiple gunshot wounds. No other information was immediately available. Odessian accused in aggravated assault. An Odessa man was arrested early Sunday morning after his roommate of 4 months accused him of assault. According to an Odessa Police Department report, two La Casa Drive residents from separate homes called 911 shortly after 3:30 a.m. Sunday to advise someone was at their door seeking help. When officers arrived at the homes, one of the men seeking help was gone, but at the other home, they found a 36-year-old man covered in blood, the report stated. The man told officers Sean Paul Durate, 33, attacked him, striking him in the head several times and causing him to fear for his life, according to the report. Officers saw blood smeared near the front door, throughout a hallway, kitchen, and several bedrooms, the report stated. Officers found Durate at a residence in the 1600 block of San Fernando Drive, and he claimed he'd been strangled to the point of unconsciousness with a weed-eater wire. Although officers noted his neck was red, Durate didn't have bloodshot eyes, which is typical of strangulation victims, the report stated. An officer also noted in his report, Durante's account of the incident was inconsistent, and his claim that he fled the apartment first seeking help was proven false by neighboring video camera footage. Durate was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, a second-degree felony punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison. He remained in the Ector County Jail Tuesday on a $40,000 surety bond. All About Spring Harvest by United Supermarkets Dietitian Team. With the warm weather and the longer days, plants are growing again and flowers are blossoming. The energy level is going up and people are starting to enjoy more outdoor activities like hiking, attending spring festivals, and barbecuing. Fruits provide nutrients vital for the health and maintenance of your body. Most fruit options are low in fat, sodium, and calories, and have no cholesterol. Fiber is yet again another main function of produce. On top of having a slew of different micronutrients like folate, vitamin C, and potassium, fiber helps reduce blood cholesterol levels, keeps you feeling fuller longer, lowers the risk of heart disease, important for proper bowel function. Try and make as many of your sources whole sources. All vegetables count here, whether they are freeze-dried, frozen, canned, fresh, dried, and so on. Fiber, yet again, takes the center stage as to why it is so important to consume them. The amount of vegetables you need varies, but the general rule of thumb for an adult is 5 to 9 servings. A serving is 1 cup raw or 1/2 cup cooked. Most vegetables are naturally low in fat and calories and include a wide range of nutrients like vitamin A, vitamin K, polyphenols, antioxidants, and much more. It's important to note that eating a wide variety is key. Eating fruit and vegetables provides several different health benefits. People who eat more fruits and vegetables as part of an overall healthy diet are likely to have a reduced risk of some chronic diseases. Midland Habitat for Humanity dedicates 187th house in program's history. Midland Habitat for Humanity dedicated its 187th house, located at 801 East Odessa Street, to a deserving homeowner on March the 24th. Made possible through the generous support of churches participating in the Apostle Build, this new home will provide a secure and affordable living space for a hardworking Odessa family. The Apostle Build is a program where local churches sponsor the construction of a habitat house from start to finish. The program is named after the 12 apostles who left their regular occupations to follow Jesus and help build his church. Similarly, participants in the Apostle Build give their time, resources, and energy to build a home for a family in need. The 187th Habitat Home Build was made possible by the financial contributions and volunteer work of the following churches: Antioch Christian Church, Connections Christian Church, Emmanuel Baptist, First Baptist of Odessa, Mid-City Search, New Life Fellowship, and The Bridge. Their hard work and dedication helped make this dream a reality for the homeowner, who has put in their own sweat equity and contributed to the building of their new home. MHFH is one of the premier institutions responsible for constructing affordable housing in the Permian Basin. The organization's partnership model offers deserving, hardworking families a hand up. MHFH uses a rigorous qualifying process that includes progress from the applicant through home ownership. Each participant contributes a minimum of 350 hours of sweat equity on the worksite and completes a homeownership education program. Successful candidates are then awarded a 0% interest mortgage, making homeownership a reality for some of the most deserving families in the Permian Basin. Midland Habitat for Humanity is a Christian-based nonprofit organization that builds homes for low-income families trapped in substandard housing. Homeowners make house payments to Habitat with a 0% interest, 25-year mortgage. These house payments go into a fund to build more homes. For more information, call 432-686-8877. PBRC to hold 46th Annual Telethon. For more than 45 years, the Permian Basin Rehab Center has hosted an annual telethon to help raise funds to help provide crucial therapy services to patients. Every year since the first telethon, the PBRC has been thankful for the support from donors in the Odessa and Midland communities. The fundraiser, in which the PBRC teams up with News West 9, is held each spring. This year's telethon broadcast will take place from 6:30 to 10 p.m. April 15th and 2 to 5:30 p.m. April 16th and can be viewed on News West 9. Telethon gives PBRC a chance to share the stories of its patients and thank the donors who helped make it all possible. The event helps the center provide services including physical therapy, speech-language pathology, audiology, and occupational therapy. This year's telethon will take place at Odessa Christian Faith Center. Obituaries. Kenneth Fletcher, age 75, passed away on April the 6th. Socorro Armendariz, age 73, passed away on April the 6th. Jennifer Dunn, age 50, of Odessa, passed away on April the 10th. Jimmy Arnold, age 77, died April the 1st. Christine Shane Curry, age 52, of Odessa, died Saturday, April the 1st. Laura Urban, age 53, of Midland, died Saturday, April the 8th. Sharon Lyons, age 86, died on March the 24th. Margaret Ann McFall, age 93, passed away on Thursday, March the 23rd. Armando Ramirez Chavarrera, age 67, died Tuesday, April the 4th. Evelyn O'Neill, age 91, of Midland, died Thursday, April the 6th. Reynold Sanchez Quiros, age 80, of Odessa, died Sunday, March the 26th. Helen Joyce Phillips, age 93, passed away on Saturday, April the 8th.
Midland Christian partners with Life Powered. On April 6th, Midland Christian School partnered with Life Powered for an energy day with fourth grade students. Energy professionals hosted round robin sessions to discuss types of energy, how to be good stewards of resources, and the difference in energy density between resources. The activities students participated in covered science, techs, as well as geography and language arts, focusing on the energy found in the Permian Basin. Fourth graders also learned about how oil and gas professionals are able to reclaim land after the life cycle of a well is complete, emphasizing the importance of conservation. Students were then encouraged to think about ways they can be conservative in their daily lives. Energy Day gave MCS students an opportunity to learn how life in Texas and around the world is fueled by the oil and gas industry. Midland Moments. MHS presents 2023 Católico Court by Mercedes Cordero, staff writer. Midland High School's 94th annual Católico, which stands for cattle, oil, and cotton, was on April 13th. Members of the 2023 court are King and Queen, Lord Santiago of the House of Salcedo. Son of Mr. and Mrs. Eduardo Salcedo, is a part of varsity soccer, varsity tennis, and was a varsity basketball player for 2 years. He is also a member of Students in Philanthropy. His honors and awards include the National Honor Society, the Academic Excellence with Top 10% Award, and being a 3-year academic letterman. Santiago will be attending Texas A&M University, where he will major in biology. Lady Sarah Ashley of the House of Stewart, daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Scott Stewart, is the girls' captain of varsity tennis. She is the president of Students in Philanthropy and the secretary of the National Honor Society. Sarah is also a part of Young Life and Capernaum. Her honors and awards include being a 4-year academic letterman, district MVP, being ranked number 5 in her senior class, and holds a top 10 award. Sarah has committed to play tennis at Dallas Baptist University, where she will major in education. Court. Lady Ella Grace of the House of Dodson, daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Scott Dodson, is the president of the Fashion Club, editor-in-chief of M Magazine, and treasurer of Student Council. She is also a 4-year academic letterman and a member of the National Honor Society. Ella has studied piano for 10 years and is a 7-year member of Piano Guild. Ella will be attending Southern Methodist University, where she will major in fashion media. Lord Lorenzo Isaiah III of the House of Orozco, son of Mr. and Mrs. Lorenzo Orozco, is the president of Student Council, vice president of Robotics, president of National Honor Society, is a previous varsity cross-country runner as well as a previous track runner. His honors include earning a four-year academic letterman, being awarded the cross-country Heart of the Bulldog Award, being a First Tech Challenge League champion, and being on a state qualifying robotics team. Lorenzo will be attending Texas Tech University, where he will pursue a degree in mechanical engineering. Lady Merritt Emma of the House of Gamersfelder, daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Joe Gamersfelder, is the Secretary of Student Council. She is also the creative director of the MHS Fashion Club. She works at Far West Coffee, and her hobbies include crocheting and fashion. Her honors and awards include Principal's Leadership and Excellence Award. Merritt will be attending Abilene Christian University, where she will major in business. Lord Caden Jeffrey of the House of Carriger, son of Mr. and Mrs. Daryl Carriger, has been on the varsity tennis team for 4 years. Parliamentarian of Student Council, and a member of National Honor Society. His awards and honors include being the boys' doubles first team all-district tennis, an AP scholar with distinction, and being top 10 in his class. His favorite hobby is skiing. Caden will be attending Ohio State University, where he will major in accounting. Lady Bethany Celeste of the House of Payan, daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Gabriel Payan, has been a part of varsity theater for 2 years, is a member of student council, and vice president of Midland High School's Crochet Club. Her honors and awards include being awarded National Qualifying Girls Group Musical in 2021, as well as a state qualifying one-act play in 2022. Bethany will be attending Oklahoma City University, where she will major in acting. Lloyd Ryan Avery of the House of Perez Castaneda, son of Mrs. Pamela Perez and Mr. Randy Castaneda, has been a part of varsity theater for 2 years, was a Midland High School football player, and is a soloist in a band. His honors include being a part of the state qualifying one-act play, an honorable mention All-Star Cast Award, an Outstanding Performer Award, and a triple national qualifier. Ryan will be attending Texas A&M University of Corpus Christi, where he will major in theater art and eventually own his own restaurant. Lady Michaela Kristen of the House of Deller, daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Michael Deller, has been a part of varsity volleyball and powerlifting. She is also involved in Students in Philanthropy and the Mellon College Health Science Program. Her honors and awards include Academic All-Star Volleyball, Powerlifting State Qualifier, and an Academic Letterman. Michaela will be attending the University of Texas at Austin, where she will major in biology. Lord Drayton Melchizedek of the House of McCoy, son of Mr. and Mrs. Clint McCoy, has been a part of varsity football and varsity theater. He is also involved in MHS powerlifting and Students in Philanthropy. His honors and awards include the James Doc Dodson MVP, first team running back all-district, and academic all-state running back. Mecki will be attending Hardin-Simmons University, where he will major in mechanical engineering. Lady Gracie Elizabeth of the House of Nethery, daughter of Mr. Curtis Nethery and Mrs. Betsy Brennenstuhl, is a part of varsity tennis and Students in Philanthropy. She has worked at the Hand Cafe for 3 years and is part of Young Life and Capernaum. Her awards and honors include being a four-year academic letterman, National Honor Society, and academic excellence. Gracie will be attending the University of Texas at Austin, where she will major in advertising. Lord Serafino Abdiel of the House of Alvarado, son of Mr. and Mrs. Serafino Alvarado, is involved in Young Life, where he is a Capernaum buddy and attends campaigners. His honors and awards include the National Honor Society, being an academic letterman, and the oil and gas certificate. Serafino will be attending Texas State University, where he will be majoring in business. Lady Amber Carey of the House of Dietzel, daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Jeffrey Dietzel, is a member of Student Council. She is also a four-year academic letterman, member of National Honor Society, and is in the top 7% of her class. Her hobbies include fashion and photography. Amber will be attending Texas State University, where she will major in nursing. Lord Jalen Dean of the House of Bracken, son of Mr. and Mrs. J.T. Bracken, has been in varsity basketball for 3 years and varsity track for 2 years. He is also a student of Automatic Technician Academy. One of his hobbies is riding dirt bikes. His honors and awards include being Basketball Athlete of the Week and Honorable Mention All-District for Basketball. Jalen will be attending the University of New Mexico, where he will major in Mechanical Engineering. Lady Keller Ann of the House of Ray, daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Chad Ray, is involved in Students in Philanthropy, the captain of the varsity golf team. She is an employee at Nines Apparel, an active member of Young Life, and a Young Life Capernaum buddy. Her honors and awards include National Honor Society, where she is also the treasurer, being a three-year academic letterman, and an outstanding overall student. Keller will be attending the University of Texas at Austin, where she will major in communications and leadership. Lord Hagen Connor of the House of Haskell, son of Mr. and Mrs. Bob Haskell, is involved in Students in Philanthropy, Young Life, where he is a Capernaum buddy and attends campaigners. His honors and awards include being a Midland Scholar, National Honor Society, and on the Academic Honor Roll. Hagen will be attending the University of Texas at Austin, where he will major in communications. Lady Lillian Caroline of the House of Smith, daughter of Mr. and Mrs. David Smith, is a College Board AP Scholar, a member of Student Council and Symphony Guild. She has also been a part of varsity track for 4 years. Her honors and awards include being a four-year academic letterman, the track and field team captain, a commended National Mint Scholar, and the salutatorian of her graduating class. Lily will be attending Rice University, where she will major in business. Lord Sawyer William of the House of Blake, son of Mr. and Mrs. Banaiz Blake, is a part of the West Texas lacrosse team, where he has been the captain for 3 years and is a UIL state runner-up. His honors and awards include being a Texas Scholar and the AP Scholar Award. Sawyer will be attending Texas A&M University, where he will major in mechanical engineering.
Dear Dr. Roach, my husband had surgery the first time he was diagnosed with prostate cancer. 5 years later, he had a reoccurrence. We investigated his options and decided to go with the proton therapy. I am surprised you did not suggest this treatment in your recent column about prostate cancer. He had no further reoccurrences and recommended it to others who had good experiences and outcomes. Signed, J.G. Dear J.G., in that column, the man with prostate cancer could not get any more radiation because he had already had 2 courses of treatment and his physician was concerned that he could get permanent damage to the colon. A different type of treatment was needed. Proton beam therapy is a type of radiation treatment different from the current standard of care for radiation called intensity modulated radiation therapy, which is localized precisely every day prior to giving the radiation treatment. In theory, proton beam treatment has less toxicity, and although one study showed less toxicity to the system from proton treatment, the only study I know that looked directly at toxicity to the colon found the IMRT had less toxicity than proton beam. To date, there is no evidence that proton beam leads to better outcomes than IMRT, so I do not recommend it. I defer picking the exact type of radiation to the radiation oncologist. Dear Abby, after being divorced for 18 years, I have reconnected with my high school sweetheart. She got in touch with me, and we started talking and seeing each other. She says she loves me, and to be honest, I love her too. The problem is, she's married. She has grown kids and is raising her 8-year-old granddaughter. She says she's sorry about what happened to us years ago, and that she and her husband have had nothing in common for the past 16 years. They sleep in separate rooms and don't do anything as a family. I know it was wrong to get involved with her because she's married. I asked her why now and why me. She said it's because she never stopped loving me and had tried to find me in the past. I work in construction and have been in different places over the years. I told her I don't want to break up her home, but she insisted that she's not happy. She told me that a few years ago she moved out but returned because of her granddaughter. We are both in our early 60s. I'm not sure what to do. I know we have fun together, and I haven't laughed this much in a very long time. I have been with others, but never like this. Help. Signed, Longtime Love in Florida. Dear Longtime Love, tell your lady friend you care for her, but what's going on isn't fair to you or her husband. She has some important decisions to make about her future, and possibly yours. Would her husband raise the grandchild if she left? Could she take the child with her? Do you want to help raise the child? Unless you plan to sneak around until her granddaughter is no longer a minor, stop laughing and get serious. The next dear Abby, I am a 48-year-old divorced mother of one adult child and one teenager. I suffered years of abuse at the hands of my toxic ex-husband, and I'm finally enjoying life for the first time in more than 20 years. My elderly parents were also abusive, so my relationship with them is limited. My parents think I'm going to take care of them when they can no longer care for themselves, but when my son graduates in a few years, I want to move away. I have offered to help, but they insist I should be willing to do more when the time comes. My parents are on Social Security and have little money. My only sibling is worthless and abusive as well, and I know he won't do anything. What's your advice? Signed, I on Future in Ohio. Dear I, if your parents had children in order to guarantee they would be taken care of in their old age, they were misguided. Having children is no guarantee. That they now live on a limited income is their issue. Do not allow them to make it yours. I assume you have warned them that you will be able to give them limited financial help and that you plan to leave the area. Let your children know what has been going on. Impress upon them the importance of planning for financial independence early on, and if you haven't already, start saving for your own retirement because children often emulate what they see their parents do. Make your parents aware that they may be programs to help them lower costs in many areas, enabling them to stretch their dollars. AARP has a state-by-state breakdown on help for low-income seniors.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.